You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to I Hate Dating. I am your co-host, Stacey Smith. And normally you would be hearing Irvin Folk's voice right now, our producer who produces this wonderful podcast, but he's on vacation. So lucky guy. Right, Paul?
Yeah. Sail on.
Yeah. But again,
Lionel Richie style.
I know. I'm joined by my lovely co-host here, Mr. Paul Marston. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing excellent. I am doing excellent. I am not on vacation, but you know, we don't all get to be that lucky.
I know, right? So shout out to Irvin. We miss you. So he'll
producing
be back,
something
guys.
Somewhere, I no doubt believe.
Yes. All right. So in case we have some new listeners out there that, you know, don't have a clue about what I Hate Dating is, I Hate Dating is a show where we take your tough questions about dating, relationships, and love, and we try to answer them and make dating a little less suckier for you. Is that a word, Paul?
I looked it up, and yes, it is a word. It pertains to things that don't feel good, even though it sounds like they might.
All right. Well, thanks for making me feel better. I know that wasn't a word, but thank you, Paul. All right. So you ready to get right into it?
Let's do it.
All right. So we're going to read one of our submissions. So here we go. I am thinking of creating an OkCupid profile in the new year, but my issue is I'm on permanent disability for mental health issues. I've been casually dating, Tinder swiping, for the last few months, and it's been easy to make up excuses and dodge the employment questions because I don't see the guys that long. However, I'm hoping to find a serious relationship, and I can't very well be lying about my employment status right off the bat if that's what I want. I have a 6-year-old daughter, and being a single mom is a big enough hurdle for dating in itself. People where I live are extremely shallow, so it's difficult with that sort of thing. Yet alone, this fixed income and mental health issue is my business. I'm just worried about how I'll be perceived if I put myself out there as someone who was not even 30 yet and unemployed because of her mental health. I'm 29, but I feel more like 39. So would you put self-employed or unemployed? I don't want to lie, but I don't want to scare away potential dates. I also don't want to date someone who would judge me for my situation, but let's be real. Most people would just skip over a profile with that sort of baggage. And before anyone asks, yes, I do take medication and I am in therapy and et cetera. It's something that's been in treatment for several years now, but due to the severity of my illness, I'm just unable to work and that's all there is to it, unfortunately. I'm also quite open with new partners about my mental health if I think it's going to be something more serious, but I've never had to deal with this unemployment thing before, so I don't know how to advertise myself as a result. Thanks, and any advice would be helpful. All right, Paul, what do you have for?
Well, it's really going to depend on what you're looking for. It sounds like she's looking for a partner, something serious. And so if you're looking for something serious, then you're going to want to weed out the stuff that's just going to be, that's not going to work out anyway. And so if you were looking for attention and you wanted as many messages as possible, then I'd say throw a good picture up, talk about what you like and let the suitors come. However, if you're looking for something serious and you're not just looking for an abundance of messages, then I would probably just go ahead and throw that out there. Whatever the issue is, however much of it you're comfortable with sharing, but let people know that you're unemployed and you're on mental disability. I would probably just leave it at that. You don't have to throw all your business out there, but unemployed, mental disability, this is what I like to do. Just act and keep it moving. Because I believe that that's going to weed out the things that wouldn't have worked out anyway. If somebody doesn't want to talk to you because you're unemployed due to a mental disability, then when they found out, they would probably just stop responding or start to retract from how they feel, you know, retract from their communication. Then you'd be sitting there wondering why and all that other stuff. So might as well save yourself that problem and that trouble and just put it out there.
Yeah. I agree with pretty much all of that you just said. But first, I want to commend her for being honest about what's going on in her life. The reality is this is something that many people go through. So it's nothing to be ashamed of. So I also agree with Paul in the aspect of it's best to just be honest about it because it's going to come out eventually if you're looking for something serious. So you already said when you get pretty serious with the guy, you go ahead and you let him know. And like you said, it's going to help filter out the bad apple. So if you just put it out there and let them know, you're going to get guys that's not a factor for them. It's not something that is going to matter. They really want to get to know you for who you are. And so if it's someone that sees it and they're like, I don't want to talk to her. Let me skip that profile. Then you probably didn't need to talk to them anyway.
Not to mention, I was going to say, not to mention, and we've said this a time or two before, but this is going to sound bad, but you have the fortune of being a woman and guys really aren't going to pay that much attention to the fact that you put unemployed. Most men, I mean, all right, like, so what does this mean? Does this mean you're just out there living off the system? Like, that? They might have a question or two, but in most cases, they're probably not even looking at that field. I know that when I've been online dating, I wasn't really much concerned about the employer. I just didn't look at it. It wasn't something that I thought to look at. Like I said, statistics show that when somebody gets online to meet someone via the internet, they're looking at two things. They're looking at how you look and what you like to do.
Yep.
Neither one of those things have anything to do with what you do for a living. That's just something that we ask to get it out the way because that's a means of breaking the ice. So, you know, you throw it out there. It's there for them to see. And then move on. It's going to weed people out. That's what you want. You want to weed. If you're attractive, you're going to be overwhelmed with free profile messages anyway.
Yeah, definitely. But I will say this. I do think there is a little bit of insecurity there only because I feel like people do judge you based off of your career status, right?
Sometimes.
So that's one of the first things that people ask Women you when they do. Meet you. They're like, so what do you do? And so it sounds like, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, embarrassment there because unfortunately she's not able to work right now. But like you said, Paul, most guys nowadays, when they go on your profile, they're looking at how you look.
Yeah.
And like you said, your interests. What do you like to do?
What do we have together? In common?
Right.
Yeah.
So like Paul said, go ahead, put it out there. You know, it's not going to hurt because if they are not someone, you know, that is into people that may have some issues, some mental health issues, you probably don't want to date them anyway, right?
Exactly. Weed them out because it's going to be so much stuff that come up through the woodwork looking for you. So you might as well just go ahead and throw out the problems right up front. Just address it all.
Yeah.
Like I snore. I like sleep with the light on. Sometimes I pee to bed. You know, let it all out in the beginning. So that way, if they stick around, they already know what the problem is, right?
I agree. I always tell people, you know what? Show all your crazy. Just go ahead and show it all, right?
Right.
Because they're going to find out eventually.
Exactly.
So if they can handle it, then you know, like, hey, I have a winner here.
Exactly.
You know, they're not going to run off.
The only disclaimer is if that's advice for when you're looking for something serious.
Yeah.
Now, if you're just out there just to make the nights a little warmer.
Keep that representative hat on.
Exactly. Lie on that. Catfish your job.
Do what you gotta do. No, all seriousness, since it sounds like you're looking for something serious, I think Paul and I can both agree. Go ahead, put it out there. Let them know and be honest.
Right. Absolutely. In the mortal words of Urban Folks, Stacey, final thoughts.
So go ahead, put it out there. Be honest. And, you know, like we both said, if they, you know, don't want to date you because of what you put on your profile, then you probably didn't need to be bothered with them anyway. So honesty is the best policy, especially if you're looking for something serious. So go ahead, be true to yourself.
I will not beat a dead horse. We've said it all. However, I will just add this one thing, and Stacey touched on it, is confidence. And it sounds like this whole having to put the unemployed thing might be a little new for you. Don't let that damage the way you feel about yourself, because that's ultimately going to be what will distract somebody from talking to you. Even if they see that and they end up talking to you, but you act like there's some kind of albatross around your neck because you're not employed, then they're going to see you as you see yourself. That's going to rub off. So hold your head up. You know, you can't work. It's not like you chose not to. So hold your head up and that confidence come off of you. You'll be able, that confidence does spread. That confidence is contagious and people will see you as you see yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So let's go to our next submission. Paul, what do you have for me?
Oh, yeah, I got a doozy. All right. So parental discretion is advised for this one. So here we go. I insulted his size. Can I recover? So here we go. My boyfriend and I teased one another a lot. It's how he and I first bonded when we met. Our teasing has always been a part of our relationship. It's a way we share our humor, and between us, it's very loving. I took it too far and hurt him a few days ago. We both have super high sex drives. Yeah. And recently started this game, if you can even call it that. Seeing who can go the longest without cracking and initiating sex. I initiated and he was teasing me, and then I had the idea that we should watch porn together and use our hands to get each other off. This is where it gets steamy. So we laid down together and looked for amateur stuff on Pornhub. We found a video of a couple that looked similar to us body-wise and even their skin color, so we settled on that one. I messed up because I was too insecure to just take a compliment from him. I was massaging him intimately, and he was just staring at me and not looking at the video. I asked him why he wasn't looking at the video, and he said because he thought that I was beautiful and he loved me.
Oh.
Truth is, that made me feel very happy and special, but I just couldn't accept it. I decided to say that the real reason was because he felt inadequate watching the video. The guy in the video and my boyfriend have very similar body sizes, but the guy in the video had a freakishly large penis. I immediately realized that I screwed up big time because he just froze up and he had this blank look on his face. Again, I thought humor was my way to fix it. So I made another comment saying, "It's okay, love. I love your little guy." And I kissed his penis because it's so cute. I felt him losing his erection in my hand, and I could 100% tell that he was fake laughing. Now it's been like 4 days and he hasn't touched me. We usually shower together, but now whenever I get in there, he rushes out. He usually will strip down to his underwear when he gets home from work, but now he'll just stay in his jeans until he's about to go to bed. I screwed up. I didn't even mean it. I'm very happy with everything about him. I wouldn't trade him for any guy with a larger member. I don't know if he's going to believe me if I say that, because when we first moved in together, he noticed that all of my toys were very big. I told him I need more size from a toy to get off than a person, because I have an emotional connection to a person and that helps me get off. He accepted that and went on normally. I'm afraid my comment has made him feel like I was lying or like he isn't good enough for me. I love him, but have I ruined us? What can I do?
Ooh, Paul. First of all,
get it.
I have to give you your props for, you know, the sound effects.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It
was so animated. You definitely painted a picture, so thank you. I'm sure all of our listeners out there appreciate that.
Yeah, I told you it was getting steamy.
Yeah, a little steamy. Okay. Ooh, Paul. So this one is it's a tough one. Okay. So this is what you're going to have to do, okay? You're going to have to stroke his ego because you made him feel really small. No pun intended. But you did. And, you know, men, they have egos. And you crushed it. So now you have to figure out a way to build it back up, whether it's letting him take more control in the bedroom and being more submissive, or showing your excitement when you're in the bedroom that he's, you know, pleasing you and that he's not inadequate. You're going to have to build that confidence back up, because unfortunately you made him feel really insecure about his body part. Now, the reality is not all men, you know, have the same type of equipment. You know, some are larger than others, and that may have been an insecurity that he had for a while that maybe you unfortunately pulled back out of him. And I know you were just joking, and, you know, I'm not coming down on you because, you know, that's what you guys do. You joke, whatever. But in this case, you're going to have to help build that confidence back up. So my advice would be to start feeding into that ego and letting him know that you're happy with, you know, everything with him in terms of your intimacy, and that, you know, you're overall satisfied in the bedroom. And you have to show him that. You have to vocalize that by any means necessary, if you know what I mean. So that's my advice. Paul, what are you thinking?
I've got two words for you, lady. Foundational security. When someone has their security, everyone is different, male, female. Females will have their own sense of security in one or two primary things that they consider to be their foundation. Men have a security as well, probably different than the female security, but there is a security there. So to bring it to a point, if your foundational security was feeling safe with a man, and then all of a sudden he talks some shit to some dude who was looking at you and he got his ass whooped real good in front of you, your foundation would be rocked. You would feel as though he couldn't protect you. And then that would change something in your relationship. It's not just as simple as him saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have picked that fight while you're sitting there stitching his lip back on. It's something that has been rocked at the core. So men's securities are a little different. And I'm not saying, because I don't know whether he has a package or not. He just feels like you said something about it and it affected him. It probably shook one of his foundational securities, which isn't his dick size. His foundational security might be the fact that he needs to know that he can satisfy his woman. And he might have felt like he had no problem there because you said you guys are very hypersexual. And you said that you were the first one to crack. So that gave him some additional security that my woman wants me mm-hmm. to the point where she can't even keep from wanting me.
Right.
That's an excellent feeling. And then all of a sudden, because he gave you a compliment, you want to rock his foundational security like that? Oh, yeah. He's looking at you. He doesn't even care about the chick on the screen and says, you're beautiful and I love you. And your answer is, yeah, Twinkie dick. I mean, come on. That's retarded. That was stupid on your part, but we're not going to judge. My thing is, you have rocked this man's foundational security.
So what does she do now?
So what do you do now? Time and consistency. Now, Stacey, you touched on it when you said, you gave her two options. You said either let him take control. That's not going to work. But the one that you did touch on is you need to let him know that he's able to satisfy you. And by that, I don't mean start over embellishing and screaming more than you ever have in your life, because then you're really going to screw it up. But I think you, just from the way that it reads, I think you had a good sex life going prior to the screw up. So go back to doing what you've been doing, but keep in mind that you're going to have a conversation with him, and you're going to have to give him something. And this is what I mean. You can't just say, I didn't really mean it. I'm sorry. That means nothing. That you got to give me your tears. I need your tears. I need your heart. I need your error. You need to tell him that there's something in you that is insecure. When he sit there and said that he loved you and that you're beautiful, something in you was an insecurity. And you already admitted that in the statement. So you need to say that to him. I am insecure. This is why I'm insecure. I couldn't take that. And so I just came out with the dumbest thing I could have possibly said that has no bearing on our relationship. That conversation needs to happen. And then the consistency needs to happen after that.
Okay. So you think there was some insecurity there by him saying that, you know, I'm paying attention to you because you're beautiful and not paying attention to what's on the screen.
No. I'm saying that there was insecurity for her.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So that she cracked that.
She has some insecurity. He said that. And instead of sitting there and letting that warm her heart and have them having a moment, mm-hmm. she felt the need to go on the attack. Whether it's a joke or not, that's an attack. I'm uncomfortable. Back. Pineapples. Like, that's what that is. That's an uncomfortable response.
Or, okay, I'll give you that. It could have been. Or maybe she really was just, like, joking, like, yeah, right. You know that you're just feeling a little, you know, inadequate to what's on the screen.
No. Say, yeah, right. Don't attack that man's penis. But I'm pretty sure in the text, I say that like it's 2 Corinthians. I'm pretty sure in the text she said that it was because of her own insecurities that that she couldn't just take the compliment. Yeah. She said, I screwed up because I was too insecure to just take the compliment. She has her own security. She needs to explain, not just say that I'm insecure and I couldn't take. No, that's not enough. You got to give him something.
But tears. I think tears is a little extreme.
Well, that's just me. I got a touch of God complex. I mean, she attacked his foundation.
Yes, she was wrong.
It's going to require something. Yeah. Are you too proud to cry?
Yeah. I'm just saying I don't think tears are necessary
I think you might be a little too proud to cry.
No, I'm not. I just don't think they're necessary in this scenario. I do, however, think that, like I said before, she's going to have to put in some work to make that man feel like he's the man again, like that he is sexually satisfying her.
Pull out that James Brown cape, please.
I'm saying, like, you have to let him know that you have been satisfied this entire time. Because, like Paul said, it sounds like you have been. You know, you just cracked a bad joke.
Yeah.
Now he's feeling some type of way. And now you got to make him feel better about it. So, like I said, you better get to stroking that ego and letting him know he is the man.
Before you even start with the ego stroking, though, there has to be the admission of guilt. You have to say, I messed up because I was insecure, and this is why I am insecure. Because this man needs to not just hear an apology, not just hear that you're insecure. He needs to hear something that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why we've been together and you've been acting like you've been loving this dick all this time, only to tell me that it's microscopic and ain't doing nothing for you. I knew with all them big ass dildos that was laying around here when I first met you that you wasn't feeling this, and you've been playing this game all this time. This is what's going through his head. This is why he can't even be naked in front of her anymore.
Poor guy.
He's in the shower. He cried. At some point he cried. He didn't cry because he felt his own shit is inadequate. He didn't. Probably not.
He cried because he felt like he couldn't satisfy
his
woman.
He felt like he'd been living, like he's been lied to all this time.
Right.
He thought that he was satisfying this person and he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And that shook him. And now he can't even be naked in front of her. Now she need to fix this shit quick before he find a chick that he can be naked in front of, who does make him feel like the way he felt before. Because he's going to feel the need to feel the way he once did.
Absolutely.
And so you got to give him something. Apology is not what you give him. You give him something that makes sense. You said you felt insecure and you couldn't handle that. He needs to know why, where that insecurity comes from. Give him something that makes sense. That's the only way this is going to work. And then, as Stacey said, then you start letting him know that this hasn't been a lie all this time.
Okay, yeah, I agree. You know, I didn't really focus on the fact that she said that she was too insecure to take the compliment. But you're absolutely right. You have to give him something that, like you said, makes sense, something solid where he's like, okay, so that you can say, hey, there's nothing wrong with your size. I was just too, you know, insecure in the moment to take your compliment that I quickly, you know, had this nervous joke to say, right. Oh, you just feel inadequate, you know, compared to what's on the screen. And then I think he can understand that. But you still are going to have to put in a little work, darling.
Absolutely. So there's work to be done. And like I said, like in the analogy I drew before, like if you had been beaten up by some people and that's where your security is to be protected by your man and he got his ass whooped, before you can forgive that, he got to give you an excuse that makes sense. Baby, you know, my sugar was up. Like I was already half knocked out before he even hit me.
My knees were bad. I fell down fast. My knees were bad. You know how that football injury, you know.
You know how my ankles be in the morning. I can't even walk the stairs in the morning. That's why I sleep on the couch downstairs.
Okay. All right. So, final thoughts.
Final thought is, like I said, you need to come with that real heartfelt conversation. A conversation needs to be had here. There's nothing simple here. The foundation has been shaken. So you need, and it has to happen quickly because we need to make sure that he's not about to find his own medication somewhere else. So give him something that makes sense. Let him know what your insecurity is. Make your tearful confession. And then work. Not to embellish, though. Not to embellish. Just work at being very verbal in how he satisfies you. Not that he satisfies you. How?
All right. Well, my final thoughts are, I don't think tears are necessary. That's just me. But definitely, you know, let him know that you are satisfied sexually in the bedroom. And if you are someone, you know, that is very, what's the word I'm looking for? That you express yourself loudly in the bedroom already, then continue to do that so that, you know, it's not faking it. If that's what you really do, if you really were satisfied, let him know that. So you got to build that ego back up. So good luck. All right. All right, Paul, you ready to go to our next submission?
Yep.
All right. Let's here we go. I have been single for almost a year now. There is a man whom I find very attractive pursuing me. I'm hesitant because he is a friend of my ex, and I'm not sure if I should go out on this date.
Ooh.
And I feel there is chemistry, but I'm not sure if I should pursue it.
Oh, wow. So your ex, and it's a friend of your ex.
Well, it's a friend of a friend.
Oh, wait, that's twice removed. So, all right. So, a couple questions. And I know you're not around to answer them. But number one question would be, what's the relationship between you and your ex? Do you guys still talk? Have you talked since you broke up? Like, is he still, like, is he in your life at all? Is he, does he still have your phone number? That's question number one. Question number two is, how tight is the friend of the friend of the friend? Like, is this, like, so distant that it doesn't even matter? I mean, obviously, it must matter because you're taking the time to question it. So if they're tight, like, if they know each other, I know it's a friend of a friend, but if they know each other, if they hang with each other, and you have, like, and you talk to your ex, you're gonna need to, you need to talk about it. You need to ask your ex, like, really, maybe not necessarily ask for permission, but you need to see, at least let him know, let him know that it's coming from you, that you're about to talk to somebody he knows, because I don't know how, like, what kind of ex is this? Is this somebody you dated for a couple of weeks and, you know, it's not that big of a deal? Or is this someone that you were ex as an ex-husband or ex as in we were together for a very long time? So there's different levels of post-relationship loyalty that are to be considered there. But you definitely want to run it by him so that he hears it from you so that he's prepared, because especially if this isn't his friend, it's a friend of a friend. They could be in a drinking session one day and he just get to talking about you, and that could be a bad situation between the two of them. So I would say run it by him.
All right. So I have a few questions as well. So is this friend of a friend someone that you've actually hung out with, like in a group setting with your ex? Because if that's the case, then let me just say this. If you do decide to go out with this man, just be prepared for scrutiny, okay? Obviously, you are an adult. You can make whatever choices that you like. However, I feel like there's a little bit of uncertainty on your end. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking. Now, if you're confident enough to go out with this man and you don't care what anyone thinks, you know, go ahead, date him, have a great time. But obviously, there's a little bit of uncertainty there, or you wouldn't be asking. So this is the reality of the situation. There may be some judgment, okay? People are judgmental. There may be some judgment involved where they feel like you shouldn't be dating this guy. And if you feel like that's something that would affect you and you don't want to be perceived a certain type of way, then don't do it. Because there are how many billion people in this world, okay? I'm sure there's somebody else out there that you are just as attracted to, that you have great chemistry with, that it wouldn't be worth whatever would come with dating this guy. So if you feel like there may be, you know, a little bit of some bad energy that may come from dating this guy because, you know, the people around you may judge you for it, then don't do it, because obviously you're not comfortable. But if you don't care and you're like, hey, you know, he's a friend of a friend of a friend, it's not like, you know, right. It was his best friend, then go ahead, date him, you know, have a good time, whatever. So that's right. How I feel about it.
Yeah, there's only so many degrees of separation that need to be paid attention to. So if this is friend of a friend, for starters, let me clarify, because I don't know exactly how I said it, and I have to listen to the recording, but I need to make sure that I underscore the fact that I said, tell him about it, not ask for permission, because you're still an adult. If you like somebody, you can date whoever you want to. That's just hands down. I was just saying that if it's somebody that he's close to, or someone that's close to someone he's close to, if they're in the same circle, then you know, let him hear from you rather than from the circle is all I was saying. But under no circumstances do you need to ask an ex for permission for who you plan on talking to.
Absolutely not. let me say that. Absolutely not. Okay. And but again, if this man is in a circle where they like all hang out, and like I said, you've actually hung out with this person with your ex.
Yeah.
Just be prepared to have, you know, a little bit of a side eye. That's all right. I'm saying.
Just. And then and to add on that, because you just made a good point. If you end up with this guy and that's going to put you back in your ex's mm-hmm. circle, then, yeah, that could be an issue, too. So Stacey made a very good point about there's maybe a billion other people on this planet. And so weigh the situation. And honestly, X doesn't need to be contacted prior to the first date anyway, because you don't even know if you're going to see that guy again to begin with.
With me personally, I wouldn't even contact the ex. That's just me, because I'm like, look, I don't have to ask you for permission. Like you said, I'm grown.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. So you only want to reach out to X when you've decided that it's about to be more than just me hanging out with this dude. Because if he's in the same circle, being with this person might put you back in your ex's circle. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're going to want the ex to hear about it from you rather than somebody else. But prior to the first date, I don't think the ex needs to be taken into account at all. You can go out with whoever you want to. So go out. You might have fun. You might make a connection. And so at least find out what's up. You guys like each other? Have fun.
All right. Well, I think we kind of said our final words. What do you think?
I think so.
All right. You want to go ahead and do the one more submission that we got?
Sure. I'm sure the people would just love to hear me narrate another one.
Yeah, no, you're so good at it. He's so animated, guys. Don't you guys appreciate it? Don't you feel like you're right there?
Let's see. Things are so different now. I think the story gives us the opportunity to hand out some foundational getting started tips. Having come out of a long-term relationship, I now feel I'm ready to start dating again. The thing is, things seem to have moved on so fast. I've never been in an online dating type of guy, and I've always dated relationships with people who I've met and made friends with socially or through work. And then it always progressed into a relationship. Now you've got Tinder and Bumble and all these other things. I briefly tried Tinder for a couple of hours, made a profile, put some good pictures up, and also bothered to write a bit about myself and whatnot. One lady matched and messaged me, and the second message proceeded to call me a catfish. I had to Google that. So I deleted myself from Tinder. This all makes me a bit nervous and unsure. What do I do?
All right. Well, I guess my first question is, were you catfishing? That's my first question. Okay? Because why are you so quick just to be like, I'm deleting this?
Yeah, that is a good question.
Yeah, so that's my first question. Now, if you weren't catfishing, why did you let this one person make you just delete your profile altogether and give up? That's my next question. So why did you do that? But listen, I understand sometimes change can be difficult for a lot of people. And online dating is not something that everyone is comfortable with. And I understand that, especially if you're a person that is used to dealing with people face to face and meeting people through people and networking and all of that. I get it. But you know, times change just like anything else, right? You adapt to the new, you know, the new times. So I would suggest getting with the times, not giving up so easily, putting some great pictures up. As Paul always states, you want to make sure you have those great photos up, those photos that you would put up for your own profile on Facebook. You know, that picture that you think is hot. You want to make sure that picture goes up on your dating profile, and just don't give up so easily, and understand that online dating can actually be really cool. And the reason I'm going to say it's really cool is because it helps to filter out a lot, right? Because when you're meeting someone in person, you really don't get a chance to really filter all of their interests and everything that comes along with dating them. But you can actually set your settings where you can filter specifically the type of religion that you want them to have, how many children you want them to have, whether they smoke or they don't smoke, drink, occasional drinker, you know, whatever. So that gives you an opportunity to really, you know, filter out and find people that you really can connect with and have a lot in common with. So understand that even though it's something that's different, it's something that could be beneficial. So my advice to you is don't give up. Go back on Tinder and put up that profile. So, Paul, what do you have?
Yes, I would agree. You don't want to give up so fast. And Stacey, you asked some amazing questions in the beginning. How is it that you put up some pictures, had a conversation, and then she called you a catfish? I don't understand that. Like, most people, I've never seen someone call someone a catfish without having met them. Like, so what about your picture is extra under the sea? And then, yeah, the other question you asked was another great one. Like, why did you give up, dude? I mean, it was one person. The next chick might not have said anything, you know? But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Fact is the fact you gave up. And I think I know why you gave up. You gave up because you, sir, are in uncharted territory. This is very uncomfortable for you. You are the people who got the cell phone, like back in the early 90s when cell phones first came on the scene. And you were like, I don't want people to be able to call me whenever. If I'm not home, I don't want to be contacted. That was back in the 80s when if you wasn't home, we had no idea where you were.
Exactly.
And so if you're one of those late adopters of technology, then you're just behind the times. This is how people are connecting nowadays, because capitalism has created an atmosphere for convenience. We want to be convenient. People don't have time to get out there and meet through their social network and all this other stuff. We want to meet people, like Stacey said. We want to sift through them like a brochure, and we want to pick out we want to filter options just like we're ordering clothes on a website. And then we want to see what our options are at that point and order something. We want to order our partners now. This is the dating pool that you step back into, and everyone is used to that now but you. So you're going to have to, you know, you don't have to evolve, and you're going to have to accept the way the situation is now. Don't get me wrong. People still connect through the methodology that you were saying. Mm-hmm. However, this is a formidable extra outlet. Use it, but embrace it and use it. And don't be so quick to run away, because I feel like you wouldn't do that if you met somebody in person. And if she said something that you didn't like, you're not about to just leave the bar. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. What? Mm-hmm. I dye my hair. I'm leaving. I'm right. Leaving. Right. Never dyed my hair. Gosh. So yeah, just evolve and adapt, and use it to your benefit. Because just like everybody's ordering people, you can order people too. Mm-hmm. Order you up a good one.
Yep. I think that was great advice, Paul.
Thank you. I live to impress you.
Thanks, Paul. I know that was a lie, but I'll take it. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of I Hate Dating. And we're so excited because we have some great things coming for you guys. So we want you to stay tuned. Make sure you like us on Facebook, the I Hate Dating Facebook page. And stay tuned for, you know, some things that we have coming for you in the near future. And if you have a question, don't be afraid to go ahead and send your submission to questions@ihatedatingshow.com, or go ahead and inbox us on Facebook, because I know you guys, you know, you want to know what's going on and how you can get into the dating world and do it very well. And Paul and I are here to help you, right, Paul?
We take the scare right out of it.
Absolutely. All right. So thank you guys again for tuning in, and we will see you. Well, not see you, talk to you in a couple of weeks. All right. So we're out of here.
Good night.